Hello and welcome. We continue our series of messages on Christian maturity today with Pastor Patrick Rainey, sharing from his heart and from the Word, asking us the question, if we're not mature in the Word, then what are we doing? Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Excited to be able to share God's Word with you this morning. Pastor Tim was preaching this morning. You know, he's at the hospital, and I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for this family as they need our prayers. Just want to remind you that Brother Clayton, his funeral visitation will be tomorrow at Williams from 5 to 7. Like Pastor Tim said, Friday night after our Easter practice, that we would love to fill that place up with Freedom folks. And so his visitation is 5 to 7 tomorrow, and the funeral will be here on Tuesday at 3:30. So I just want to remind you of that, and also to be in prayer. The Lord gave Pastor Tim a vision several months ago of what the theme would be for this year. And I think it's a wonderful theme that we all, if we can catch a hold of, that I believe it has the opportunity to change our lives forever. And today is no different. And that vision was maturity. As Christians, you know, if we're not mature in the world, in the Word, then what are we doing? And so today, we're going to answer that question again. What does it mean to mature in our walk with God? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard this phrase before? That person is just beautiful from the inside out. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that before. Everybody, you can put your hands down. Thank you. And so we all have heard that phrase before. You know, that means that person has really great traits, that they may have a nice smile or a great personality. That person is real sweet. But this expression basically means that what is on the inside is more important than what's on the outside. That's what that phrase means, because when really what someone is like on the inside shouldn't match how they are on the outside, right? That shouldn't match how we are on the outside. And I know that sounds crazy, but that is totally opposite of what we're used to hearing. That's not what we're used to hearing, but think about it for a moment. Who are the people that get on your nerves the most? Just think about it for a moment.
Besides kids?
Besides kids, yeah, you can put the kids aside. Who are the people that get on our nerves the most? When it comes to our weight, See, the problem is I hang out with Tim way too much. If I don't stutter, I can't pronounce words. I say, I just got to bear with me today, okay? Pray for me, okay? But the people that we don't like to be around is fake people. Amen? We don't like to be around people who say one thing and do the totally opposite. We can't stand fake people. People who are two-faced, who act one way on the outside, but on the inside, they're really somebody different. Or they act one way to us, to our face, but the moment we turn our backs, that they're just talking and they're gossiping about us. We do not like fake people, and no one wants to be around fake people, and no one wants to be called fake. Amen? We want to be real. We want to be real. And that's what this morning, as we go on to maturity, we take this next step. It's about understanding what it means to be real about our faith and to let Jesus allow Him to do on the outside what He's done on the inside of our lives. It's about walking and being what God has called us to be. And so can I get a show of hands of how many of us in here know of some fake Christians? It's a tough one to kind of raise your hand on, right? You put your hands down. We all have experienced, probably, most likely, of some fake Christians before in our life. And the reason you have made that decision in your mind they are fake is because the way that they treat people, the way they gossip, the way they act. Or maybe you look at someone and it's not that they treat people bad, but it just seems that being a Christian is boring. You know, as a youth pastor, I struggle with trying to get teens to understand and to realize that being a Christian is not boring at all. But that's difficult. In the world and society we live in, it's difficult to portray that, to show them. And it's like that people really don't care about their walk with God. Y'all hear me? Yes. My Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Amen. It's good stuff. It's like that we really don't care about our walk with God. You and I here today, you know, we have a huge responsibility that God has given us. As Christians, God has given us a responsibility, an opportunity, and a blessing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so everything that we do, people are watching. People are watching everything that we do, that nothing about our life should draw people to think that we're not godly human beings. And so today, I want us to answer this question: what does it mean to be real for God? What does it mean? And so if that's the case for a lot of us, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian, contagious Christian? Answer that question in your mind. If I'm a Christian, what will it take for people to want to be like me? You know, Paul, he said, you know, if you can't seem to fathom in your mind to be like Jesus, then follow after me, because I'm doing my best to try and be like Jesus. So today, as we answer this question, we have to ask ourselves, what does it take to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? And so I want us to look at a time when Jesus was with his disciples after his death and his resurrection. And you see, this was the last conversation that Jesus was going to have with his disciples. Now, disciples didn't know this, but Jesus did. And that's in the book of Matthew. It's chapter 28, verse 18. Listen to these words. And Jesus came and said to them, powerful words, listen. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now let me stop there for a moment. So right off the bat, Jesus reminds us of who he is. Jesus goes ahead and lays down the foundation of, hey, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now if I were to stand up here and say that to you, what would that do to you? That would perk up your ears. You would really be listening. You would really be paying attention. And so, in other words, Jesus is saying, guys, I have defeated death. And what I say next, it matters. What I'm about to say next is important. And so you need to listen up. You need to listen to what I'm about to say. It's kind of like if you love someone dearly and they're, you know, on their deathbed or their last days and they're trying to tell you something, you're going to lean in. You're going to try to be grasping every single word that they're about to say. You're going to be really attentive and listening to what they have to say. And so Jesus says, I have authority. And because of that authority, what I say next matters. So you better listen up. Disciples, you better listen up. And that didn't just go for disciples, because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And so as we read this word today, Jesus is telling us, hey, church, you better listen up. You better listen up to what I'm about to say. Then he goes on in verse 19. Listen to this. My most favorite scripture. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am always with you to the end of the days. Now maybe this sounds strange to us, because we obviously, you know, can't go and make someone a follower of Jesus. I mean, you can't just walk up to someone on the street and say, hey, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I think so. Well, let's go ahead and baptize him in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, that don't happen these days. People are going to think you're crazy. And so, you know, that might have happened 30 years ago or 50 years ago, but times have changed. But the gospel hasn't changed at all. But that wouldn't work. And the only thing that people that we can do as Christians is to invite them into a personal experience that we have experienced with God. Our testimony. Our testimony is the most powerful thing that we have of what God has done in our life. Because when we invite people into a personal relationship, into something that is about us, that and those moments is when we are making disciples for Christ. Think about it. You know, we all make disciples about the different areas in our life. When you hear about a new restaurant in Millersville, what do? You go and you try it out. You go back and you tell your brother, your sister, your mom and dad, or your cousin that, man, it was really good. You got to go and try it. It's just off the chain. Or for you teens, when a new video game comes out, Fortnite, that you go and you buy it and you play it and you love it. You go and tell others, say, this game is awesome. You've got to go get it. Or when a movie comes out and you tell your friends that, you know, you got to go see it. It's just a great movie. And a lot of times people will go to the restaurant, or we'll go buy the game, or we'll go to that movie, because when we see that somebody is excited about something, then that excites us. That excites us, because when something impacts us, we want others to know about it, right? When something impacts us, we want others to know about it. But two things are true when it comes to making disciples. Hear me out, church, that it only impacts the people that you have a relationship with, and it only impacts people if you're excited about it. If you're excited about it, when it comes to influencing people to follow Jesus, we need to know the people and be excited about Jesus. I know this is not real deep, but this is serious. Because a lot of times, we're not excited about God. I'm just going to be honest with you today. A lot of times, we're just not excited about God. You can't just walk on somebody, hey, I'm going to go to church. They might say yes, hopefully they'll come, but what if you go and say, hey, I would love for you to come to church. We have a special missionary speaker here today, wherever he's at, and we have a wonderful worship. You got great things for your kids and your youth. I would love for you and your family to come in and be a part of it. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference and just invite somebody when you're sad and you're kind of just feel like you have to do it as a Christian? I got to invite people. But the difference is when you are excited about God, when you're excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, then you can't wait to invite somebody to church. Because when they see that excitement in your mind and your heart, then they want to experience it. They want to be able to experience it also. And so to sum up Jesus' final message to his followers, he says, go and be excited about me with the people that you know. I know some of you might be here thinking, how do I do that? It's just too weird to talk to people. You know, what am I supposed to say? What if they ask me a question? How am I supposed to answer it? You know, these are all great questions. And it's okay if we don't have answers to all of them, because I'm sure the disciples had a lot of questions. But then Jesus says in verse 20, he says, and be sure of this, that I am always with you to the end of the ages. And so this is what Jesus was saying to the disciples. This is what Jesus is saying to us in the church today. He said, hey, church, I got you. I got you. There's no need for you to get all upset, no need for you to get all worked up or afraid, that I will be with you. I don't know about you, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, when I see that the creator of the world, the one who created me, the one who instilled everything that is around me, when he tells me that he will be with me, that excites me and that comforts me. That excites me. Gives me a comfort that no one else can provide. And so what does that mean for us today? As we take this next step into maturity, well, let's look at the first thing that Jesus' disciples did after Jesus went up into heaven. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 51, 52. Powerful words. Listen to this. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, the first thing that it says that they did, that Jesus said they did, is that they got excited about who Jesus is. The disciples were excited about who Jesus is. And so Jesus had literally just left earth. He went up to heaven. You know, in our minds, we would be sad, we would be desperate. You know, what are we going to do? But Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And so those disciples left, not with sadness. I'm sure that they missed Jesus. I'm sure they missed him, but they left with an excitement in their heart. They left with an excitement in their heart. It says that they worshiped him, and they talked about how great Jesus is. You see, this desire with the disciples started from within inside of them. It started from within inside of them. There was a deep passion and desire within all of those disciples to be able to go out and to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And because they did that, on the outside, they looked pretty good. They looked really good. They looked awesome. They looked great because they had a heart for God. You know, it says they didn't immediately go out and preach to everyone or have big crowds follow them. Because in order for Jesus to do something great with them on the outside, he had to do something great with them on the inside first. And so what I'm saying to us today, church, is that in order for us to be the hands and feet that God has called us to be, in order for us to be able to take care of the things of this church, be able to take care of our families on the outside, then we got to be excited about Christ on the inside. We got to be excited about what God is doing. Now, the next thing they did was, it said that they returned home with great joy. It didn't just say they returned home. It said they returned home with great joy. They returned home with great joy. They returned home with a smile on their face and with the joy of the Lord in their heart. They returned home with that. They were excited. And so what we can learn from the disciples today is a lot is that, hear me out, church, is that simple joy and excitement can point people to Jesus. Simple joy and excitement can point people to Jesus, because whatever we are excited about on the inside will influence people around us on the outside. Understand me here today, church, that I want us to understand the importance of being excited for Christ. You might be sitting here today and, you know, what if I don't feel that excitement? What if I don't feel that joy? I know I'm a Christian. I know I've given my life to Christ. Do I just fake being excited? Do I fake being happy? First off, I want us to understand it's okay for us to feel that way. It's normal, because our faith will go through different seasons in life. But we don't need to be fake about our lack of excitement for Jesus, because just like joy and excitement can bring people to Jesus, being fake and just push them away. And so what I'm telling us today is, church, I want you to hear me out. Don't be something you're not. Don't be something you're not. Instead, remind yourself of what God has done in your life, or what God has done in someone else's life, and dwell on that. Be reminded of what God has done, because a lot of times we get into this self-pity phase that, you know, I'm not growing, I'm not learning, I'm not, you know, advancing in my walk with God. It's because we're not doing anything. It's because we're not feeding ourselves, because we're not serving at a Cafe Central, or we're not up here help teaching the little kids about Jesus, about the disciples. It's that we just come here and we leave, and that's about all our walk with God exists. And so what I'm telling us today is that I'm challenging you. And just like Jesus was challenging his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Because you can't just be excited about Christ while you're here in this church. What about the people who are outside these four walls? How are they going to be able to hear the name of Jesus if we don't go out there and be the hands and feet that God has called us to be? For a lot of us, we have to find a new way to connect with God, to take more of a step in worshiping or praying or reading, you know, God's Word. But, you know, the most important thing that we need to know is that if we want people to see the joy on the outside, and we got to be excited about God on the inside. I know this message isn't deep. It's simple, but it's true. You know, we're so quick to point fingers at people. You know, I can't believe that they're doing this or doing that. Well, church, I just want to say that it's our fault, because God has called us, you and I, to be the ones to change this world. And so instead of just pointing fingers in anger, or in judgment, why don't we just put all that aside? Be reminded of who we are in Christ. And go and just love people. Go and just love people. Because when you have something so good to share, when you have Jesus living in your mind and your heart and your soul, when you have something that is that great, you should not be able to contain it. It should overflow. You should can't wait to go and tell someone about Christ. This past week, I was sitting with someone, and I heard one of the most saddest things I've ever heard. This person was just going through a lot of chaos, a lot of difficulties that life throws at you. And this person said, you know, my life has just been chaos my whole life, and it's just going to be this way to the day I die. Most saddest thing I've ever heard. You know me, I sit there and I start weeping and crying. And I said, but it doesn't have to be that way. Because Because when you allow something so great, named Jesus, to come into your life, it'll take all that junk away. All the things that we thought was great in life doesn't mean anything. So I'm telling us today is that if you're here today and you don't have the joy of God living inside of you, it doesn't have to be that way. Because there's a God who loves you. There's a God who sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And so as we're here today and we need to take the next step in maturity and growing in our faith and our walk with God, today is a day that we got to do something. Not next Sunday, not a month from now. God is calling us today to be real. And so if we want to move on to maturity, we need to be excited about what God is doing. We need to be excited about what God is doing. Today, if you're here and you have no idea the kind of joy that I'm talking about, you know, this is the only, you can only get this joy by asking Jesus into your heart and into your life. And if you're here today, hear me out, church, and you never asked Jesus into your heart, I can't think of a better time to be real with God. Or if you're here today and you're one of those fake Christians that we talked about, it's time for us to change. As we go into maturity, God is dealing with us. And God can do all these great things. We can put all these great sermons together, but it all falls at your feet. It all falls at our feet, what we want to do with God's Word. And so today, I want to challenge us, just like Jesus challenged His disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations. But here's the key, church, and I'm done. In order for us to be able to do that, and to be able to do it well, we need to be excited about what God is doing on the inside of our hearts and our souls. If you're sitting here today, and you've been a Christian for 40, 50 years, and you're just not excited no more, then you don't serve the same God that I serve. Because I get excited about Jesus, and I know you get excited about Jesus. So today, as we leave this place, we need to be excited about what God is doing. Don't be fake. Be what God has called you to be. You be the hands and feet of Jesus. Today I want you to stand. And I want you to know this altar is open. If God is dealing with you, if you have never asked Jesus in your heart or your life, you can come down here. We will pray with you. If you're here today and you consider yourself a fake Christian, it's okay. We can put that aside. We can put it away. We can pray for God to be able to change you. But today, as we hear God's Word, I want us to know. I want us to know the truth today. That God has called each and every one of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because if people have a bad mindset on how we look, just think what it does about their mindset about God. Today, I want us to seek God in this time.
At this point in our year, on the Christian calendar, it's a season of Lent, a season, yes, of self-denial and reflection, but also a season of adding to our spiritual lives, adding service, love, spending time with God, maybe that we would spend other times in other priorities. We challenge you to do so. Spend time in the Word this week, as Pastor Patrick has challenged us today. God bless you in the coming week. Have a great day.